All right, Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, this is a part of Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. This last couple verses here, where Paul has expressed the order, the arrangement of God Almighty's sovereign purpose in no uncertain terms.
Exactly.
When Paul being moved to say according as, then it must be in that order.
Yeah.
When Paul is moved to say having predestinated, it must be according to that order. When Paul says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, it must be in that order.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. When Paul says, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith and love, faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints, it must be in that order.
Yes, sir.
This is the primary group of people we're to pray for. God's people.
Yes, sir.
God's people. But Paul sums it up in this way in chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, that is Christ's feet.
Yes, sir.
And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Amen.
Now, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, and as a matter of fact, he's the only one that mentions it throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul is the only one that talks about the body of Christ in those terms. So the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of God, provides several statements of description of the body. We're going to look at each one. I told you we're going to go into more detail about the body. Christ's body, that's the message.
Yes, sir.
Christ's body. The body is described by the Apostle Paul. Now, I thought about an illustration, and the only one I know of to try to give right off is, there was a body of men, a group of men. They were described as astronauts. And they were a part of the Gemini and the Apollo missions. If you were to take a list and say, here is a description of those astronauts, and you describe them, here's the description of what it meant to be, Joe, a part of the Gemini or the Apollo program to space. The only people that fit that description, or only the people that fit that description, can be called the astronauts of that program. As we look at these eight things that Paul describes and calls the body of Christ, the question I must ask myself, and the question you must ask yourself, is do those things describe me?
Yes, sir.
If they don't describe you, if they don't describe me, then that means you and me are not a part of the body. You can talk about, well, but you were elected or predestinated to it all you wish.
Oh, yeah.
But there is order here.
Yes, sir.
No one has any right to claim to be a part of the body unless they fit the description of the body.
Yeah. There you go.
There are groups of people in this world that hang their soul, their very eternal, or I should say everlasting soul, on the fact of an election or a predestination, but they care nothing about what that election was to, or what the predestination was concerning. First of all, in our text, Paul describes the body as his body.
Amen.
You see it? And it put all things under his feet. Well, who is the his here? Christ. Amen. No doubt about that. And it put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is, those two words, his body.
Amen.
There are all kinds of bodies in this world. Baptist bodies, Presbyterian bodies, Church of God bodies. They're all not the same body.
Exactly.
I'm not a Baptist, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Calvinist or Arminianism, that's not the question.
That's right.
He didn't have a Calvinistic body, it's his body.
Amen.
You can be a Calvinist and still perish.
Yeah.
You can hold to certain doctrines and still perish. Paul said, which is his body. Now there's two things that this teaches. I'm not going to try to give you what it means. You don't need me to tell you what it means. I'm just here to proclaim what it says.
There you go.
Okay? You can look up the words. You can see what they... If you got any concern for your soul, you ought to do that. When you go home, you ought to go back and get your Bible and whatever books you have in your arsenal and study these things to see if what Joe and I are saying is true or not. Because that's what matters. It ain't up here to, well, I've heard all that before. I know it. No. No, you don't. No man knows anything yet as he ought to know it.
Amen.
There is not a subject upon the face of this earth that concerns the person and work of Jesus Christ that we already know enough about and we can leave it alone.
You're right. Yeah. Exactly.
Not one. That's why Paul says, part of my prayer is that the eyes of your understanding, having been enlightened, that's the most accurate translation, that you may know what is the hope of his calling.
Amen.
The riches of the glory of his. In other words, you said it, Joe, Moses wanted to know more.
That's right.
He knew quite a bit, but he still wanted to know more. More. So Paul describes the body as what? His, Christ's body. Two things. Ownership.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
His body describes what? Ownership. That's sure, that's true. If you're a part of the body, Jesus Christ owns you.
Amen.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
Amen.
He owns even your physical body. He bought even your physical body with a price. You're God's. Therefore glorify God in your body. Your bodies, which are his.
Amen.
It certainly teaches ownership, but it's more than that. It is his body. Him being stated to be the head, that lets us know it is a relationship of oneness.
Yes.
Oneness. It's his body. It's not just a body over which he is head.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-mm. It's his body. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen. It's not just he's a head, and then out there are a bunch of different bodies, and he's the head over all them. No. It is over all things to the church. Gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body.
Amen.
It's a relationship of oneness.
Yes.
He owns me, but it's more than that. He is one with me.
That's right.
And I am one with him.
Amen.
That's a glorious thing.
Yeah.
John puts it this way. Now, right now, now are we the sons of God.
Yes.
Now are we the sons of God. Of course, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Mm-hmm. But right now,
yeah.
Even right now, we are the sons of God. And he goes on in that same epistle, 1 John. He goes on to say concerning Jesus Christ, as he is, so are we. Even where? Where?
Yeah.
As he is, so are we in this world. Isn't that a glorious thing?
Amen.
Not just we'll be like him one day, we're going to be actually, totally, completely like Him. But we're His body now.
Yes, sir.
In this world. The world will not see it, but we're still as He is in this world.
Yes, sir.
That's number one. Do you fit? Do I fit that description? One, He owns me.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not bitter about that. I'm not angry about that. I remember years ago when I thought I had Christianity, when I thought I was saved, when I had made my profession even as a young child. I did not, I can only say that honestly now, but I did not like the idea of being owned by Jesus Christ in all that I was. Why? Because all I had was a religious profession. I was not a part of the body. You've heard. Why I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. Then you're not a part of the body.
Amen.
That's the truth of Scripture.
Yeah.
It's that clear. Well, you're being hard. No. No. God is severe.
Yes, sir.
God is severe. God is strict. God is exact. And Christ is the head over what? His body.
Amen.
Number two. In our text we see the church, the body, he says, all things gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. They're not synonymous terms, but they speak of the same group of people. The church, which is his body, in the text is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's an amazing statement.
Amen.
Almost a conundrum. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Yeah. That's what the book says. Now, it's not about what does that mean. It's about what does it say.
Exactly.
It's not about addition to Christ. We don't add anything to Christ.
You're right.
But it is talking about completion.
Yes.
God Almighty purposed that He be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes. Therefore, there must be many brethren, or Christ would not be complete.
Exactly.
He is not head without a body.
That's right.
He is the head of His body. Do you see it?
Amen.
It's not about us adding to Christ something. No. Christ, think about it, it is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He's the one doing the filling.
That's right.
You see it? And He's filling all in all. So then, Christ fills His body, that both He and it is in full unity and membership.
Yes, sir.
His body will not be lacking one digit.
That's right.
One part. One member.
Amen.
So Christ fills His body in such a way that both He and it is full in membership and full in standing before God. He is accepted of God the Father.
Yes, sir.
We're accepted in the Beloved.
Accepted
in the Beloved. That's a description, another description, a second description of the body.
Sir.
You either fit that description or you do not.
Amen.
Well, we will. People, I hear it not a lot, but you hear it on occasion. Well, we're looking for potential membership in our church. Mm-hmm. Potential members. No, there is an elect group of people. Who were predestinated by God to be what? His sons. They will be brought into the body.
Amen.
Placed in the body, in their specific place, as a specific member of that body. And it will be Christ the head of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Everyone Jesus Christ came into this world to save must be saved, or He's not the head. He's not the head. That's number two. That's the second description. Because of this, we read a statement in several places, but we read it even in this epistle, chapter 4, if you want to turn there. And in verse 4, thus we read of one body.
Amen.
Ephesians 4, verse 4. Yes, there is one body.
Amen.
But you cannot take that and separate it from the rest of the context.
Exactly.
There is one body. What is it that motivates this one body?
Yeah.
One spirit.
Amen.
And it's capitalized, and I believe properly so.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
There is one, because Paul said, told the Corinthians, by one spirit you're all baptized into one body. Yeah. That's not some kind of spirit baptism. That's the Spirit of God motivating every one of God's people to confess Christ in the water in obedience to Him. That's what it's talking about. This thing of spirit baptism is not taught in the Scripture.
No.
No. John said when he comes, he'll baptize you with the Spirit.
That's right.
Who's the baptizer? Not the Spirit, the Son.
There you go.
Amen. Took me a long time to learn that, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was so steeped in all of that error. That's what I'd always heard, Mason. What always Spirit baptism. Spirit baptism. No, we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body.
Yes, sir.
There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope.
Amen.
Of your calling.
Yes, sir.
Notice here, calling is connected to all this oneness. Just make a mental note of that. One hope. Well, I have hope in this. Another person says, I have hope in that. If this and that are not the same thing, then you're not a part of the same body. Right?
Yeah.
If the this and the that are not the same thing, you're not a part of the same body. You're saying people's got to believe like you do. No, I'm saying people believe who I do.
Amen.
And in time, we are all being taught what to believe concerning the who.
There you go.
We are being corrected, Joe, where we're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And encouraged where we're right.
Yep.
And that's just the way it, look at what it says. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Till we all come into what? The unity of the faith.
Amen.
None of us starts knowing everything and none of us dies knowing everything.
Amen.
But God Almighty sets all members in His body on a path to knowing Him.
Yeah.
And He begins teaching them. And He corrects us when and where is necessary. This is the script. Now, lest someone say, well, but it says there is. That's not really there. There is. This is one body. Don't be silly. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And you, if you ever read Ephesians and Colossians, they are very similar in many respects. In many respects. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's not talking about you giving God permission. It's talking about bowing down.
Exactly.
That's what it's talking about. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called in one body.
Amen.
And be glad for it and thankful for it.
Amen.
You see it? And be thankful. So thus we read that there is one body. You're either a part of that one body or you're not a part of His body.
Amen.
You might be a part of somebody, but not a part of His body.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? That's the description. It's one body. There are hundreds of bodies in this world of even people who have a hope, but they don't all have the same hope. They don't all have the same Lord. They don't all have the same baptism. They don't all have the same one hope of His calling. They just don't. Therefore, they're not all a part, Mason, of the same body. Can't be. Can't be. Well, you're too discriminatory. Not nearly as discriminatory as God is. Because there are people I would include, I have included, and God said no. Later on, He said no, that wasn't one of them.
Exactly.
And there's others that I probably would have thought, I'll never have association with that person. God said, yeah, you will too, because I called them into the same body you're in.
Yeah, exactly right.
Now deal with it.
Yeah.
That's why deal with it. Deal with it. I mean, some of us may be fingers, but some of us are not very good-looking fingers.
No.
Some of us may be a hand, but some of us don't grip as well as others do. And I better stop the illustration there, because I'll get in trouble if I go a lot further with that. Called. Called into one body. There's a description. Were you called by God into one body? There's a description. Okay, I don't want to jump ahead of number four. It's also described, go to Ephesians 4. You should be, well, no, yeah, Ephesians 4 again. Back to Ephesians 4. It's all also described as the whole body.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things. That doesn't mean you grow up into salvation. That doesn't mean you start out with a little taste of it, but it's kind of iffy as to whether you're really going to have. It has nothing to do with that. It's talking about maturity in the truth of God. The speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head. So aren't we talking about the body here, the church, the body, right? Which is the head, even Christ, from whom, do you see that?
Yeah.
We don't derive what Paul's going to talk about merely from doctrine, we derive it from the person the doctrine speaks about.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying now?
Amen.
If you can know the doctrine, but if you're not getting it from the head, you're not a part of the body. If you get the doctrine just from me, you've got nothing.
Yeah.
But added condemnation to your soul. That's kind of frightening, is it not?
Yeah.
Because this says, from whom? That's talking about the head. From whom, here we go, the whole body.
Amen.
Not just a few members in the body. See, that's the whole point. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, not in numbers, but in maturity, in understanding, in recognition, in repentance, in faith, in love, whatever it might be, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Amen.
There's another description. It's called the whole body. Any body not fitly joined together is not a part of that body.
Exactly.
Do you see it?
I see it.
Or I should even better say, anybody not being fitly joined together. That is in the process of being fitly joined together. Because as we see one another in this world, in local assemblies, sometimes we seem mighty disjointed. But remember, it's not from which, it's from whom.
Amen.
Right? From whom? Your sustenance does not come from this local assembly.
Yeah.
You're a part of this local assembly because you've been made to be a part of Him who is the head of this local assembly and every other local assembly that's a true part of the whole body.
Yes, sir.
So there's another description. In other words, Christ is head in reality, not just doctrinal theory.
Amen, sir.
He's really the head. We're a body connected to the head.
Yes.
And as everything flows from this, don't matter about your physical body. Everything flows, all the nourishment, all the sustenance, all the growth flows from the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it flows down through the body.
Yes, sir.
And the body is connected, fitly joined together.
Amen.
If you're a part of the body, you ain't going to be out there by yourself not wanting to be a part of the body.
You're right.
Now notice what I said. You're not going to be out there by yourself not wanting to be a part. I don't care whether I'm a part of the body or not. Then you're a part of the wrong body.
Yeah,
a body of one is not the body Paul talks about here. Not of singularity me. No. Christ is head in reality, not in doctrinal theory. Thus the body thrives in and thrives from and thrives concerning Him.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. I hear people say, well, our church is growing. You know what they mean, don't you?
Yeah.
They mean numbers.
Yeah. That's exactly what they mean. Yeah.
They mean just numbers only, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care about any kind of spiritual maturity amongst the members of their little group.
Yeah.
They just want the group to get bigger.
Yeah.
That's not what Paul's talking about here.
Exactly.
The glory of the growth of the body is seen in the members constantly crying out, "Oh, head, feed me. Oh, head, sustain me. Oh, head, I want to know more about you. I want to know more about you." That's another description of the body. That's number four. Here's number five. Ephesians chapter 3. It is called by Paul the same body. Okay? The same body. Let's read it. Ephesians 3 verse 1. "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." There is a mystery here, but that has talking nothing about spookiness.
Exactly.
Not here. Nowhere does it talk about spookiness. Let me rephrase that. Nowhere does it talk about spookiness, but also it's not talking here about something that can't be laid hold of.
That's right.
There are some mysteries that can't be laid hold of. One of them is God made manifest in the flesh.
Exactly.
That's one of the mysteries of God, believed on in the world. That's a mystery.
Oh,
but Paul's not talking about even that here. Look, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." The Old Testament did not talk about this detail. That's what he's talking about.
That's right.
"As it is now revealed unto us, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body," do you see that?
Amen.
"And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." The Old Testament does not deal with that.
You're right.
He's already... Now, I've read you his conclusion. Let's look at where he gets that from. Chapter 2 of this same epistle. Verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles."
Amen.
See it? Gentiles in the flesh. He's writing primarily to people who are Gentiles. "In the past, you were Gentiles in the flesh. You were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands." In other words, the Jews call you what you are. Gentiles. Those who were physically circumcised under the physical covenant, they seen you for what you were, Gentiles. And Paul said, that's what you were.
Oh yeah.
He said, you were that. "That, at that time, ye were" what? "Without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And then some men immediately turn around and say, "But we are," the Gentiles who believe now, are true Israel. No. That is not what Paul says. Look, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both," he's talking about the Jew and Gentile now, true Jew and the elect Gentile. The elect Jew and the elect Gentile, that's what he's talking about. He's established that already in chapter 1, right?
Yes, sir.
"But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two," that's of twain, "one," what? What's that next word? N-E-W. Not the old order added to.
That's right.
But a totally new order.
Yes, sir.
One made of the twain of the two, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And by this, you're joined with all of God's people. That is, those who are truly God's people. I am not Israel. I am a wild olive branch grafted into the root stock of Israel. That's the doctrine of Scripture.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, well, I just don't see it that way. But then you see wrong. And I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, God might show you a few things. Because if you're a part of the body, the one body, the whole body, you're a part of that. And somebody else has bewitched you, deceived you. And that, why do you think he says in verse 14, after he goes through all this, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth to one another.
Amen.
We are not all a new Israel. We are one new man. A totally different thing now.
Exactly.
Well, what God really meant in the Old Testament, he wasn't really meaning what he said. We see it now fulfilled in the new. Not in this respect. No, sir. No, sir. There are hints back there, but there is no clear doctrine back there.
That's right.
Here's what we see. Here's a hint. When Moses is rejected by his own people, the one he was already foreordained to be the deliverer of, right? Even from his infancy, Joe, Moses was ordained of God to be the deliverer. But then, when he tries to begin to deliver his people, he sees an Egyptian hurting one of his own. He goes out and kills that Egyptian.
That's right.
What's the Jews do? They reject him.
Yep.
He has to flee.
Yep.
And what does he do? He goes out and marries a Gentile bride.
Yes, he does. That's right.
Does he not? Before he is ever received by the national covenant people.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Now, that's just an allegory. That's not the doctrine taught back then.
Yeah.
That's just an allegory back then.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It is the same body. Yeah. There is no Jewish church or Gentile church when it comes to the New Testament church. And as I've already said to you, we are not just an extenuation of the Old Testament church. The Old Testament called out people. That's what the word church means. We're under the Old Covenant. At least from Sinai until Christ Jesus came into this world. We, the one new man, we're not under that Old Covenant. We're under the New Covenant. That's the same body. Beloved, I've even heard a grace preacher talk about the Jewish church and the Gentile church. There is no such thing taught in the New Testament. There may have been local assemblies that were predominantly Jewish. There may have been local assemblies that were predominantly Gentile. But they were not a Gentile church and a Jewish church. There is one church made up of Jews and Gentiles, and they're made into one new man in Christ. That's number five. Number six, it is a body. Turn to Colossians 2. It is described as this, as a body knit together. Colossians 2, verse 19.
Sir.
And I'm coming in the middle of the context, but you know, you'll see that what I'm saying to you is still true. And not holding the head. You see, that's one of the manifestations of being a part of the one body. Mm-hmm. The whole body is you hold the head.
Yes, sir.
The body holds to the head.
Yeah.
Okay? In other words, the body's looking to the head. It's grasping up there. That's the whole thing, Joe. That head up there.
Yes, sir.
And not holding the head from which all the body, all the body, not parts, not the certain parts of it, not the most spiritual parts of the body, not the most faithful parts of the body, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together. You see it? Now, we don't. You don't even have to have the meaning of the Greek. Knit together.
That's right.
Even if you look in the Webster's Dictionary and you think about knitting, what are you talking about? It's made it all one.
Yes, sir.
You know, you took all the threads and a woman sits down with her needles and you see all this thread is gobbed up. But after they get done with the work, Joe, what do you got? You got a nice looking scarf or a shirt, whatever it is. It's knit together. That word means this, to cause to coalesce,
yeah,
to join.
Yes, sir.
The body is knit together.
Yes.
If you're not knit with the body, you ain't a part of the body.
Exactly.
That's the whole point.
Yes, sir.
Because Christ's body, which is one body, a whole body, His body, is all coalesced.
That's right.
You see? As I've said, there is no place for individuality in this thing of God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman. I'm not going to submit myself to the authority of a local assembly. Then you're stepping outside the auspices of the body,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Over which Christ is the head.
Yeah.
The body, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, here's number 7. 1 Corinthians 12, and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 5 are the two main chapters, the main places in the Bible that describes or talks about in detail the body. If you ever want to look at the body in detail.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at what he says here. The body is what? In 1 Corinthians 12, 24. Look. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. It's very similar to the same what we've all just read, knit together, but here he uses the word tempered. It means to mix or to blend, but not in the sense if you got a bunch of different marbles and they're all different color and you just put them all in one box. No, it means they actually become part of one another.
Yeah.
Look, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. If one suffer, they all suffer.
Yes, sir.
So you see, that's how together it is.
Exactly.
That's how coalesced we are. That's how joined we are. That's how mixed we are. That's how blended we are. David, they ain't black churches and white churches. You hear that on TV. Well, that's a black church. If they mean that's made up of predominantly black believers, that might be right, David. But there ain't no black churches and white churches.
That's right.
Just like there ain't no Jewish churches and Gentile churches.
Exactly.
There ain't no American churches and English churches. They may be local churches in America, and they may be local churches in England, but either if they're not all part of the same body, they're not in Christ. This is a tempered together. That's number 7. Thus, Paul describes it this way. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What mercies? The sovereign mercies he just talked about in chapter 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies, your body. Now, it's talking about our physical bodies.
Yeah.
But this is important. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Do you see how these people are not to be like everybody else?
Exactly.
We're even to put forth an effort not to be like everybody else.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
We're to actually engage in being different. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, you have what you have because God Almighty gave it to you.
Amen.
Don't brag about it. Don't brag about it. Don't boast about it. If you do boast, remember, you don't bear the root. The root bears you. Don't you boast against the Jews. Well, they were broken off. The root bears you. You don't bear the root.
Exactly.
You're blessed if you're a part of the body because God Almighty purposed to bless you. He chose you. He predestinated. He called you. All of these things. But look, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body. But look, and everyone members one of another. You see it? There's a description of the body. Even when we don't all agree on everything, we still must recognize we're all members one of another and members His body.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It's not that I'm right and you're wrong. It's that God's right.
Amen.
And we're wrong. And anytime we are right, it's only because God lets you see that.
Exactly.
That's why.
That's it.
Don't be overly angry, and that's the best way I know to say it, against anybody who's a part of the body just because they don't get something you do.
Right.
Be careful.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Mason is fine to stand for the truth, but we got to be careful that I don't try to split the body up based on what I see.
Yeah.
You see? Why? Because we're members, what? One of another. And we're to protect that. And the major way here is by what? By the mercies of God, and doing what? Don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because they would have us be like them.
Exactly.
And we're not like them because we're a part of the one body.
Amen.
Now in light of these descriptions, let me give you these things in summary. No one joins this body by an act of human will.
Amen.
I remember I heard, I believe it was Chris Cunningham quoted, he said he thought it was Augustus Toplady. And I don't have the ability to check that, but it was a really good quote he thought came from Toplady about man's free will. It was something along this line. Isn't it amazing that man's free will, man's so-called free will, can't even cure him of a cold or a sore toe, but yet he thinks that his eternal destiny hinges on his free will. He said, that's madness. But I will put it, it's not about free will, or it's not about human will, free or not.
Exactly.
You don't join this body by an act of human will. It is by an act of God. Go back and read Ephesians 1 again and see how He brings us through this. By the will of God. By the will of God.
Yes.
It is not of him that willeth. What? Election's not. Predestination's not. The gospel's not.
Right.
Calling's not. It's by the will of God. So no one joins this body by an act of human will. They are a part of this body. They are the fullness of Him that filleth all in all.
Yes.
Christ is doing the filling. Do you see it? If it means, David, here's a person. That person's supposed to be a part of the body as a finger or whatever. He's the one putting them there.
Yes, sir.
He's the one giving them and equipping them for everything they need to be that part of the body of Jesus Christ. It's the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. And I can add, human works, human merit has nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
You don't join this body by your effort. You don't join this body by your merit. As a matter of fact, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2 then, you'll find out we didn't merit this at all. You see the order? Now, He didn't begin with our depravity. He begins where it's supposed to begin, with God Almighty. Because it don't depend upon your depravity, but you are depraved. And I am depraved by nature. So much so that it took an act of God to bring us out of that.
Amen.
And you hath He quickened. Quickened. So again, no one joins this body by an act of human will, or an act of human works, or an act of human merit. And as we've seen in Colossians chapter 3, this body is joined together by calling.
Yes.
Now you know these things, so I'm going to pass through them. But they must be said. This calling is according to God's sovereign purpose. Romans 8:28.
Yes,
we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now there's the first qualification. All things work together for good to who? To them that love God. But who are they? That's an amazing statement to say to anybody that they might love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. And then He even gives us the order of that there, doesn't He not? Secondly, this calling has the gospel as its instrumentality. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. He chose you to salvation through what? First of all, there's got to be a work of the Spirit in you. Even the preaching of the gospel does not affect the elect by nature. God Almighty has to do something for a person first before even the gospel is of any value to him. Sanctification of the Spirit, but also what else? And belief of the truth. And you don't just wake up one morning and do that. He says, whereunto He called you by our gospel. And that's the only ordained instrumentality of coming to believe the truth. Through being called by the preaching of the gospel. So much so that Paul puts it this way, the gospel he's talking about has Christ crucified as its central theme. 1 Corinthians 1:21 through 24. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But what kind of preaching? A special kind, Christ crucified.
Amen.
Because to the called, it's the power of God.
Yes, sir.
But unto others, what is it? Foolishness and a stumbling block. You see it?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, it's even that to the elect by nature.
Yes,
foolishness
sir.
Or a stumbling block.
Yes, sir.
Until God Almighty breathes spiritual life and then sends that gospel along to call that life out into manifestation.
Yes, sir.
Here it is. Here it is. So the gospel has Christ crucified as its central theme. The whole thing of these 3 points is this. Calling. Calling. You're only a part of that body if you've been called in this way. You got no right to think you're a part of the body if God Almighty hadn't called you, what? According to a sovereign purpose, through the instrumentality of the gospel, and that gospel is a specific gospel.
Yeah.
It's not just any old Bible message. Mm-hmm. You can be right about your eschatology all you want. You can still perish without Christ. You can be right on your ecclesiology and your doctrine of the church all you want and still perish without Christ.
Amen.
You can even be right on soteriology.
Oh, yeah.
On how God does save people. But if God ain't saved you that way, then you ain't saved.
That's it.
Thirdly, no one in this body, no one dictates their own beliefs. No one dictates their own motives. No one dictates their own actions. No one dictates their own lifestyle. No one dictates their own goals when they are in Christ's body. He is the head. He dictates it all. And if you look at Ephesians, he's talked about the body. And we were just like everybody else by nature. Going through it. But look, here's Jew and Gentile, but we're both all depraved, but yet he's joined us together as one new man. See it? And then here's one Lord, one body, one faith, one. And he says, and here's why God gave these gifts, apostles, prophets, and all that. What? Perfecting the saints.
Yeah.
But then he looked, verse 17, look at it, Ephesians 4. This I say therefore. You see the order now?
There you go.
Based on all that,
yep.
All the way back to chapter 1, verse 1.
Yep.
This I say therefore and testify unto the Lord that you henceforth... Oh, wait a minute now. Come on now, preacher. That you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And then go read. He goes into even how you're to conduct yourselves as a husband and a wife. How you conduct yourself toward a master or a boss. How children are to conduct themselves toward the parents. How the parents are to conduct themselves toward the children. He dictates everything to the body.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? He dictates our beliefs. He dictates our motives. He dictates our actions. He dictates our lifestyle. He dictates our goals. He's the head.
Amen.
Those who do not have these things dictated to them and for them are not a part of Christ's body. Anyone who would balk at this truth is in rebellion against God's head.
Amen.
Those who are members in Christ's body are grateful, submissive, repentant. Because sometimes, Mason, we're not always grateful and submissive. So we need a gift of repentance as well, don't we? But those who are members of Christ's body are grateful, submissive, repentant, in love and faith toward Christ and His people.
Amen.
That's the description of the body. If you don't fit in that, you ain't one of God's astronauts, if you know what I'm saying now. He ain't called you into that elite group. And I know people, it's an elite group.
Oh yeah.
Because remember, as He is in this, as He is, so are we in this world.
Yes, sir.
That's an elite group, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Not an elite on their character, Joe.
No.
Elite by the sovereign decree and purpose and work of God Almighty in Christ.
Yeah,
oh, we say, oh, to be like Him. Well, let me tell you, He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, and we are being.
Amen.
Yeah. We are being. One day we will fully be. I'm persuaded. I know that. But we are being. We are being. Why? Because God predestinated us to it. Isn't that a glory?
Yes, sir.
That's a glory. Father, may we find comfort and encouragement, even rebuke in these things if need be, Lord. Guide us and direct us and correct our understanding and our thinking. Correct our beliefs and our motives and our goals and all of these things, Lord. Lead us and guide us and give us a grateful, submissive heart. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Remember next Sunday now. Be Lord willing, meet at Minor Penny's house. Yeah, I know it is. Y'all get a little taste of it now.
Hope it don't snow.
Well, I need a couple extra minutes of sleep.
I had to say that.
I know.